Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Is that me?
That's you.
You may lose me now. I don't know. At any rate, I'd like to talk about the city pushing the new dumpster ordinance, which actually isn't all that new.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have any clue why this came to where it is. I was vocal about it at some of the meetings. I don't know why they came up with it. But it's going to be a total joke. And I have a number of dumpsters in town. And I'm going to tell you that when the city's going to push me, I'm just going to stop. They're going to start fining me for not having fences around my dumpsters. I'm just going to stop having the trash picked up, because if I'm going to get fined, what the heck, I'm going to get fined, you know? I mean, the thing is a joke. They invented dumpsters for a reason. If I can
go by once in a while, I see some dumpsters out in front yards, and I think, gee, I think I'd put it somewhere other than that.
Yes. But, you know, in a perfect world, that's great. But, you know, you go to Elm Street and High Street and Carroll Street and these places, that's not a perfect world. It's a very close, you know, the buildings sit on very small lots, so you
right.
can't have anything perfect. You
right.
know, cars don't park in where they're supposed to be. You know, not everybody lives in Paco Park, and not everybody works at Markham's. You
right.
know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, to jam this one-size-fits-all program down the taxpayer's throat is a joke, and it's not going to work.
When does that go into effect? Do you know?
It's already in effect.
Oh, all right.
Effect,
okay.
I believe the deadline was last November.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
But they're starting to enforce it now. They're sending letters. Don't know if they're actually going to fine anybody or not. But, you know, I mean, if it comes to it, I'll build fences around it, and I'm going to paint my fences to look exactly like a dumpster with the wording and everything.
That's going to be expensive.
Well, I mean, you know, what the heck? You
know, I know.
Years ago, when some of the other truckers were around, you know, they let the dumpsters get crappy. They had holes in them, and they looked ugly. But, you know, Waste Management, for one, I use them. They're a great company.
Uh-huh.
They're on top of it. They have welders and painters that work for them full-time. They keep it good.
Oh, you're breaking
out. Well, 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Can we go back to education for a couple minutes?
Sure.
You're chairman of the school board, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I would like you to possibly look at one of your rules for the school that I personally think ought to be changed.
Okay.
And that is concerning the absentee policy. I'll give you my opinion, and then you give me yours, and maybe it can go someplace after that. My thought is that if a student is doing reasonably well academically, if they don't have a truancy or an absentee problem, absentees should be controlled by the parents, not the school district, because I think what it does is it puts the school district into a very subjective basis, and it tends to lead to acrimonious accusations of favoritism and other sort of things. For instance, it may be deemed on the part of school officials that a teacher taking a personal day on a Friday before vacation so they can get the good flight to Florida, it's all right to take your kid out, which is all well and good. And I've got no problem with that if it is, if the student's in good standing and stuff like that. But for someone who's not, who, cannot afford to go on a, week-long vacation, if you take your kid out to go skiing for a day, you're either forced to lie and say your kid is sick, or your kid gets double detention, or skipping school. And like, I just don't understand why, if a student is having an absentee problem or something, then it becomes the school's issue.
Call, I have a question. What's the policy you're talking about? I don't know the policy.
Is this in the Keene schools?
In the Keene schools.
What's the policy though that you're speaking about exactly?
I'm talking about the absentee policy that says the school is the administrators of the school are the only one, have the final choice as to whether a absentee is allowable or not. For instance, I've got an A student at Keene High School. She has no attendance problems. She has no tardiness problems. She's on the ski team. As you know, the girls' ski team won the state championship. They trained together. However, the boys' championship team was championship race up at Sunbury was the day after the girls. The boys went up to, were forced to concoct some excuse to cut class, to go up and root for their teammates, the girls, and the girls did the same thing the next day. And as a result, the tensions came down for cutting class. And I think that's absolutely wrong, because if that's the decision that if as a parent I deem that a worthy reason to have my kids out of school, if the student is up to par, I may deem that every bit as important as you may deem pulling your kid out to go on vacation a day early, to go on vacation for a week. Now, tell me why it's wrong.
Well, caller, I'm not familiar with what the exact policy is on absentees. I just don't. I don't have that in front of me. But what I would do is encourage you to talk to Principal Camille at the high school to discuss it if you haven't already.
I have.
And then I would encourage you to contact Superintendent Gurney at West Street.
Okay.
That's the proper policy.
I thought that you, as chairman of the school board, maybe it's something that the school board could look into it and see if perhaps this is a policy that needs to be addressed and needs to be looked at, and possibly, if not reversed, it may have to be modified.
Well, what I would encourage you to do is, if you wanted to contact me, or contact right now, we do have a policy committee which is chaired by Neil Donegan.
Right.
And we regularly do discuss policies. And as I said, I don't have the policy off the top of my head as to what you're talking about. But if you did want to contact either of us in writing and express your concern about that policy, and it can be put as an agenda item on a policy meeting, that's how we would deal with it. We don't intervene in specific student issues. There's a policy and procedure we follow by to get involved. So I would encourage you to first contact the principal, and if you're not satisfied, contact the superintendent. But otherwise, if you have a concern with just the general policy, then you would go to the policy committee and contact Neil about bringing it forward.
Okay, I will contact Neil and see about having it brought forward. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian from freekeen.com. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great. Kathy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand that what you're doing is trying to do the best job you possibly can inside a system that is unfortunately inherently broken. And the last gentleman's call is a perfect example of it. So sad listening to that as a parent who's very frustrated because, well, he's a parent and he believes that he knows what's right for his child or his teenager or however old they are. But he believes that he knows what's right, and he thinks that he should be able to make decisions for himself. But this authoritarian school policy is just being shoved down his throat, and he's very upset about it. Unfortunately, the only options for remedy that he has are, A, pull his kid from the government school and homeschool, or send him or her to a private school, which is fine. But unfortunately, he still has to continue paying for the government schools and their policy that he disagrees with. Of course, if he can't afford to send his child to a private school on top of paying for the exorbitant rates for the government schools, then he's pretty much SOL. So then he's got to just deal with, you know, whatever sort of process you were talking about there, going and basically begging for the system to change, which it's the system is sort of designed to be unwieldy and difficult to deal with, whereas in a true free market of education, he could just simply, let the school know that he was disappointed, and if he didn't like what they did in response or didn't do in response, he could pull his child from the school and pull his funding from the school. And if people could pull their funding from the schools, then they would all of a sudden get an incentive to be more customer service oriented. And again, I'm not blaming you, Kathy. I'm just pointing out one of the failures of the system. And that brings me back to what you ladies were talking about earlier, the 80% statistics. We talked about that on my radio show a few weeks ago. And it's, 80% of Americans are just basically completely fed up with the federal government, was it?
Well, they just think that Washington doesn't accomplish anything.
That is gridlock. Yeah.
Right. I've seen other polls where I think it was 4% of Americans felt like the people in Washington, D.C. had their interests in mind. So there's a significant amount of upset amongst the American people about what the federal government is doing and what governments do in general. But like the last gentleman, a lot of them feel as though they're feeling helpless. They feel like there's nothing that can be done. And I can't say I blame them. I mean, if you switch out one, the red team for the blue team and the blue team for the red team, nothing really changes. Things just keep getting worse. The government continues to get more intrusive, more oppressive, and more expensive than ever, no matter what the candidates say about change or smaller government or blah, 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 because it's just year after year, it just keeps getting bigger, even with the so-called gridlock. I mean, they call it gridlock, but yet for some reason they still manage to pass all kinds of legislation that, you know, you don't read that stuff. I don't read it. They don't read it. So it's pretty ludicrous that anybody could be expected to obey it.
So what we need to do is throw everybody out, start over again, and get the people we want in there that really represent us.
But that's a fantasy, Cynthia.
I know. Talking of fantasies.
From several points. One, the Republicans and Democrats, you were complaining about not having more than two parties. And I started in my world of activism as a Libertarian Party activist, and so I'm very familiar with this. Basically, the system is designed so that you can't change it. You can't come in as a third party because the Republicans and Democrats have effectively made the rules to where that is next to impossible. So coming in with a third party isn't really an option. And as you saw, if you paid attention, the Ron Paul campaign during 2008, he was pretty different from the rest of the Republican candidates, which mm-hmm. was pretty unusual to see him in there in the first place, and I guess there's something to be said for that. But when the Ron Paul supporters went into the Republican conventions to try to basically kind of take over the party from the inside using their rules, you know, playing by the rules and doing all that, well, all of a sudden, they just decided to drop the rules. They would turn off the microphones on the Ron Paul supporters when they wanted to
come. Ian, I have a question. What did you think about the recent Tea Party convention that met a couple weeks ago?
Oh, I think the Tea Parties are nothing more than an excuse to promote Republican candidates. That's all. Yeah. It's just the same old game that they're playing over and over again. So the Democrats are in control. All of a sudden, the Republicans adopt their small government talking points, just like they did back in the 1990s with their Contract with America nonsense. And they talk about small government because, well, Americans like that. When you ask Americans if they think the government's too big, most of them will tell you yes. So that resonates with a lot of Americans, and the Republicans know it. And so they'll get elected based on talking about small government again, and then you'll see what'll happen, just like what happened with George Bush and all the Republicans that were in charge then. Even if you change the names of the people, they'll still use the power to increase the size and the scope and the intrusiveness of the state to their liking.
Thanks, Ian, but we've got to get one more call in before the break.
Hey, okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Discussion is the answer. Bye.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, ladies. It's Sam Dodson from freekeen.com. How are y'all?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. So I take it I'm safe in saying that both of you are advocates of getting involved in the system and voting and running for office. Is that true?
I think we've both done that.
I think so.
We're already there.
Say.
So I want to run a scenario by you and kind of hear your feedback on it and tell me what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the three of us, we go to a local restaurant in town, mm-hmm. and, you know, we go in, it takes a long time to get a table, the wait staff is not very friendly, the menu comes, it's kind of bland menu, not really great selection, and we place the order, and the food's, my steak is $100, but hey, maybe it's a good steak. I don't know. I've never been here before. And the food comes out. It's not cooked to the way that we ordered. The sides are wrong in some cases. They brought out food that we didn't order or didn't ask for and didn't want. And they also, you know, just really kind of messed it up. And the food quality was not all that great. Then we get the bill, and my steak was not $100 that was advertised on the menu, but it was $220. I bring this up and I say, hey, what is the deal here? This is not what you advertised. And the owner comes out and tells me, well, you know, in building that particular meal, we ran over budget. So I'm sorry. You know, we've got the rules posted over here on our board that says we can do this. And we added a 30% tax on service tax on all meals. So that's why the bill was three times what you expected it to be. And then if we didn't pay up, they threatened to call the police out. Now, if that actually happened to us, I think most people would tell us, well, don't ever go back to that restaurant, obviously, because, you know, it's horrible service and the things they did to you were wrong. And, you know, don't tell your friends about your experience so they don't go there. And if you're really upset about it, then what you should do is start your own restaurant where you compete with them and take their business away. But when it comes to government, that's people make these, I think, illogical and just insane suggestions to, well, what you should do to fix this is buy stock in the restaurant, and that way you can vote at shareholder meetings. And if you really want to man up, then you should get a job as a dishwasher or a waiter in the restaurant so you can change things from within. So, you know, that's what I see people telling me to do when it comes to government. And I look at that, and I think the reason that they say those things is out of fear. You know, people are afraid of the police and that they may come and demand money and, you know, lock them in cages if they don't pay up. Or
the police have never come to my house demanding money, ever.
Well,
or locked you up?
Or tickets.
Or locked me up.
Fines. I mean, it's not an exact one-for-one comparison. But if you don't pay their tickets, they come and take you and put you in jail. Or if you don't pay the property taxes, they come, drag you out of your home, and sell it out from under you. The restaurant would never, ever do something like that. And I think the reason people say these things that they don't really think about when they say, oh, well, you should vote or you should run for office, they're not thinking in terms of a private market because they're just afraid to admit that, or they don't want to admit to themselves that, okay, the reason I do this is because I'm afraid of the men with guns. What do y'all think?
I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think most people, certainly the federal government, I think, is different from local government, first of all, which is different from state government. So you've got at least three different governments that you're talking about. But I think that a number of people go along with the government because they just don't have the time or the
energy or desire,
inclination to start their own their own government.
Okay.
And so
well,
they just go along with what they've got.
I would agree with that people don't have the time, but people also don't have the time to, you know, make sure they're getting the best computer part and watch over the memory manufacturers. But yet we get good quality memory through competition and through innovation and through companies giving customer service certainly do better than the ones that don't.
But don't you think, for instance, the city and the schools, and I'm just talking locally, I'm not going to go beyond that, I think they give excellent service. I think the city gives excellent service. I think the schools give excellent service.
Certainly, the closer you get to a local government, to local politicians and bureaucrats, they're more accountable than the county or the state or the federal. But the schools, they're spending $11,000 per student, which is, you know, on par with what some private schools charge. It's a one-size-must-fit-all, and the rankings, they keep dropping and dropping when compared to other countries that have a public education system. So the more money that you give them, the worse off they perform. And I see it just like the restaurant. The schools would be no different. If we had choice and diversity and threw out all of these federal standards and local standards and just allowed the market to decide what's best, what is the best way to educate my kids, I think we'd end up with some really bright kids. I mean, if you look at the homeschoolers, those are the ones that the recruiters go after because they win all the spelling bees, they're exceptionally bright, they can think for themselves. And I think the government schools have really become more of a training center to teach kids how to respect authority, stand on your ex. They teach almost revisionist history.
Sam, I have to just disagree with you. I mean, I think just make a blanket statement that the homeschoolers are the best students, the most recruited, who win all the spelling bees is just not true. I mean, certainly there are people who are stars in the homeschooling system, and I know many people who have been through homeschooling, and some of them are really great, and some of them are woefully deficient. I also know people from Keene High School who are going to MIT, and who are surgeons, and who are scientists, and who are authors. So, you know, it's not a, there isn't a one size fit all automatons. And I mean, there's, and I'm not saying that Keene's school system is perfect by any means, but you know, as you, I don't know if you heard earlier, we're developing a program to have, you know, to have a sister school in China. We're developing things in mathematics. I mean, that we have to take all students. A lot of our budget is based on special ed, and that drives up the cost incredibly compared to what a private school would be. But I think we have another caller, so thank you for your call.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. You know, two callers back, I think the greater point the gentleman was trying to make was that in his scenario about the restaurant, he was illustrating the woeful failure of government that mm-hmm. we've seen in government over and over and over again. And he meant the gentleman makes an excellent point. I mean, this is what government does. But it's not to say that you never have something go right with government, although rarely do you. But the incredible amounts of bureaucracy and waste and the idea that monopolies are bad, if they're private, of course, everybody's against private monopolies, but it's okay to have public monopolies. And somehow public monopolies are going to work when they
well,
prove themselves.
I mean, do you think that you could have three or four governments in one city or one town?
No, that's not the point. The point is to, for education, for instance, why is it the sacred cow that the government has to run? Why is that the sacred cow? Why not allow, for instance, the voucher system and give people an opportunity to make their own choices for their own children? Because the bureaucracy won't let that happen because it protects centralized power. That's the point. I have five children. I think I know what's best for my children, and people who are in the schools do not. I know what's best for my mm-hmm. children.
Now, do you homeschool them?
What's that?
Do you homeschool your children?
I homeschool some of them, and I've had them in Christian school.
Okay.
So, and that's costing me a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort. My wife does in training the kids. A lot of extra money we buy for materials for homeschooling when we do that, or when we send our kids to a private Christian school, because we don't like the public schools. I'm still paying massive taxes for public schools that are a failure.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess what drives people like me insane is when people who are in favor of government just can't see the woeful failure of it constantly. I'm not an anarchist. I believe we obviously have to have limited government. But the
said a lot of points. I mean, I guess one of the points I would object to is, or I just disagree respectfully, is when you said that the public schools are a failure. You said you wouldn't send your children to schools that are failures.
Right.
And I don't share that perspective,
I don't either,
that the Keene schools are failing. So